Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2000. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number 2, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program.
What do you expect? Are you living up to your own expectations of yourself? And how many dreams have died inside because you gave up on your own ability to transcend the normal existence you see all around? It's no accident when we have those moments of unbridled creativity or passionate ideas for making a difference. Whatever the mind can conceive, and we allow ourselves to believe, we can achieve. And when you align that with spirit and divine destiny, the universe gets behind our intent and positive action. Allow your cosmic integration to begin, or embrace the continuation and resurrection of the idealism within.
Thank you.
Dear Pluto, please penetrate and fill my mind. Release the patterned responses through time. Then help me gather the dust of remorse and walk the loving, caring course. I am at one with Pluto's cleansing stream, releasing olden thoughts and worn-out dreams. I leave a slate as pure as snow, on which godly creative thoughts can grow. I let not sadness of days gone by repeat the error and then crystallize. I look to heaven and there I see the wondrous future of what man can be. Take me into universal thought, where all the plans of God are wrought. With our thoughts in line with thine, we'll bring triumphant changing times.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped outside his closed door to listen. "Are you there, God?" he said. "Where are you?" "Oh, I see, under the bed." I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement. But that night, something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. He was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2", there are very few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes that he's different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, returning to eat his favorite evening meal and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme are laundry days, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. He does not seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly when the water boils on the stove before dinner. And he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for the next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturday. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside the airplane. "That one's going to Chicago," Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great, he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. I don't think Kevin knows anything exists outside his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth, of power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. He recognizes no differences in people, treating each person as an equal and a friend. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it has begun, and he does not leave a job until it is finished. But when his tasks are finished, Kevin knows how to relax. He is not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth, promises must be kept, and when you are wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he is hurt, angry, or sorry. He is always transparent, always sincere, and he trusts God. not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to God, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God in a way that is difficult for an educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my faith, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then I realize that perhaps he is not the one with the handicap I am.
I'd like to mention some heroes whose names you maybe don't know, because the tales you hear make them disappear or say that their truth isn't so. But in fact they are forging the future in spite of the lie they're told, that whatever their story, there's nothing of glory in playing a woman's role. And all you talk about heroes as the women go quietly by. No anthems for us, we can do without fuss, forging our truth from the light. Short of evolution, humility, sharing, and tears will alter the face of this two human race that's been running crazy for years. And we've all got to do it together. Open our eyes for a start. We're close to the fire. Let's set our aim higher to heal this world's sorry heart.
looking into the future, something my past didn't see. The outcome of my experience has allowed God to transform me. Longing to be alive, for within I was dead. Darkness was my company, and each day I did dread. Walking with a lost soul, understanding nothing at hand, I once had a goal, but my dreams turned to sand. Seeking the face of comfort to captivate my distressed mind, can't give up on life, hope I must find. Thank God I found hope in the midst of the dark. Pursuing to find some light until it penetrates in my heart. Now that I'm blessed with life and has allowed God to transform me, I'm excited about the future. Something my past didn't see. By Gay Hite. a call this moment, just when I had begun to despair. Oh, if I only had words to describe it. It's like a vision. It's like a song, a dream more real than any remembered. A hope dancing before the dawn, a purity we've long forgotten, a life for which we long. A misty picture now forms itself before my eyes. There, in some far-off place, the air is bright and alive. The simple, open, light buildings are different somehow. There are sunny plains and busy towns. There are the mountains and spiritual distances. Things here seem to be lived on a more primal level, yet refined and not primitive or coarse. Life is lived more simply without a lot of artificial concerns, material desires, or separate beliefs. Reality pervades, and the wholeness of life is experienced in oneness. And in cooperation is creative life being realized. By Dawn Turner. There's a story about a little wave bobbing along in the ocean, having a grand old time. He's enjoying the wind and the fresh air until he notices the other waves in front of him crashing against the shore. "My God, this is terrible," the wave says. "Look what's going to happen to me." Then along comes another wave. It sees the first wave looking grim, and it says to him, "Why do you look so sad?" The first wave says, "You don't understand. We're all going to crash. All of us waves are going to be obliterated. Isn't it terrible?" The second wave says, "No, you don't understand. You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean."
Thank you.
The foundation of beauty is the heart, and every generous thought illustrates the walls of your chamber. By Frances Quarles. Understanding is the soil in which grow all the fruits of friendship. By Woodrow Wilson. Love is the immortal flow of energy that nourishes, extends, and preserves. Its eternal goal is life. Smiley Blanton. Nothing but heaven itself is better than a friend who is really a friend. By Plautus. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of love, you will speak of love. Mother Teresa. True love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward together in the same direction. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. It's never too late, in fiction or in life, to revise. Nancy Thayer. There is a 6th century Indian legend about a scorpion and a tortoise who were facing a swollen river, and the scorpion begged the tortoise to carry him across. "I can't take you on my back," the tortoise replied. "You'd sting me." "Why would I do that?" the scorpion wanted to know. "You'd be my life raft. If I stung you, we'd both drown." "Well," said the tortoise, "since you put it that way, I guess it would be all right. Hop on." So the scorpion climbed on the tortoise's back, and they set out across the river. And when they were almost to the shore, the scorpion stung the tortoise. And as they were both going down, the tortoise turned to the scorpion and asked, "Just tell me this before we drown. Why did you do it? I have to know." And the scorpion replied, looking perhaps a little regretful, "What can I tell you? I couldn't help myself. It's my nature." What is heavy? Beach, sand, and sorrow. What is brief? Today and tomorrow. What is frail? Spring blossoms and youth. What is deep? The oceans and truth. That was shared by Alicia. This world of whatever amount of freedom and democracy it has attained, and that is failing to value properly the significance of the individual. If man is willing to surrender his God-given heritage of individual dignity and divinity to a leader or to a state, he deserves what he gets. But even with all the totalitarian forces rampant today, there are enough persons in the world committed to the ideal of the dignity of man that they alone will save the world from the inroads of totalitarianism, whether communistic, socialistic, or fascist. When man is unconquerable within, nobody and no thing can conquer him from without. All cause is within your consciousness, and therefore all effect comes forth from you. Only through learning to live during some period of each day in your withinness can you bring forth the great treasures of consciousness. In order to inspire, your life must be lived from the depths of your consciousness, and then you will bring forth those treasures that will glorify God and uplift man. Those things that live, those things that inspire, illumine, and lead the human race upward, come forth from within. Anything of a lasting and beneficial nature must come through inspiration from the consciousness of an individual. The more you realize that the only thing of real value in this world is the individual, the more will your capacities be expanded. Put up your sword. Stand on the dignity of your individual being. Divinity is the nature of your being, and you have to stand on that truth silently, courageously, openly, and sacredly. Then all the forces cannot prevail against it. Rest in the truth that you are the Word made flesh, the infinite divine consciousness made visibly manifest. In this way, you will be drawing forth from your inner sanctuary the riches that are stored up in your consciousness through your divinity. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.